Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guest is Doreen Malloy, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
And hello, Fran. And I just wanted to mention to our listeners that Doreen Malloy, our guest tonight, is a gifted medium, but we will be interviewing her tonight about this book that she wrote, an excellent book called Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom. So you're certainly welcome to call in with any questions about mediumship or about spirituality, but the readings are not going to be done tonight. That we leave that for our regular mediums and messages show. You know, I caught, I know usually you're very good about cutting out articles, Fran. I cut one out that struck my eye myself this week, and it's hard to believe this stuff. But it's true. I mean, in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, the Saudi authorities reported that they executed a woman and they convicted her of practicing magic and sorcery. Now, it's not unusual for executions to take place in Saudi Arabia.
That's true.
The fact that they've announced that they've executed 76 people, you know.
Right, and it's also not unusual for them to execute women in Saudi.
Right. But they accused her of, when they say practicing magic and sorcery, really what she was doing is she was a healer, and she was claiming that she could heal people without using, you know, traditional medicine, and that they interpreted as sorcery and magic. And it just struck me, here we are, I mean, we're all human beings on this planet, and supposedly we're all, you know, connected. We're made of the same stuff. Now, in the United States, we're all familiar with these healing modalities. Scientists are studying intention and the power of consciousness. Some medical doctors, the ones that think progressively, integrate these wellness programs where there are forms of distant healing. And yet, in the other part of the world, she's put to death for the same thing. It's hard to wrap your mind around this, you know.
Well, you know, let's not give too much credit to the United States here. I mean, go to some of the states where religious doctrine takes control of the way the state runs, and they, too, would probably do some disservice to a healer or a medium or something because it's, quote-unquote, the devil's work. So we're not as progressive as we would like to believe that we are as a United States. Individual states are more progressive than other states. And unfortunately, this is ego kicking in. This is people saying, I'm in charge, I'm stronger than you, I'm in power, and what I say and what I believe is what everybody should be believing. Otherwise,
well, I would imagine, you know, in Saudi Arabia, a medium, a man or a woman, could also be put to death because they're certainly, in their eyes, practicing magic and sorcery.
Right, absolutely.
So,
and in many other countries, too.
Well, I guess we won't be certifying any mediums in Saudi Arabia anytime soon.
Maybe over the internet.
And I'm certainly not going to facilitate an afterlife discussion group there. Yeah, I understand the point. I mean, there is a stigma even today, mainly due to certain religious beliefs that this is, as you say, that like the devil's work. But at least we're no longer stoning people to death. And, you know, we have come out of the dark ages in that.
In the United States. There are countries that still stone people to death.
You've been following these solar storms?
I have, and we just recently, this week, had a mighty, mighty powerful one. And they say that, you know, while we say we think of a storm like a rainstorm or a hailstorm or something like that, it comes, it happens, it leaves. The solar storms are a little different. They emit radiation that takes a while to travel down to the Earth's atmosphere where we are. So we are not going to feel the whole impact or be aware of feeling it because it is radiation. But we are being radiated, like it or not.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we've delved into this in the past, you know, a lot of people talking about the realignment of the planets and connection with 2012 and these sunspots, you know, were predicted. And, of course, the scientific community doesn't seem to be overly concerned about it. But you do see the effects. I mean, I know you were having trouble this week with all sorts of
electronic stuff this week. And not just me. I mean, many of the other volunteers that I communicate with on a regular basis, particularly through cyberspace, everybody seemed to be having issues.
Right.
But, you know, these sunstorms are becoming more and more frequently as those planets get into that alignment that was described in that formation that brings us to the end of the Mayan calendar. So, it, you know, coincidence or not, all of these things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, if, it continues down this path and it does knock out, satellite communication, boy, are we going to feel the effects of that, because we're so reliant upon, you know, satellites today that people will, they just won't know how to live their lives. You know, it just, everything's going to shut down.
Well, I think also that the amazing thing from this particular storm, and I guess the ones to come because now they're getting stronger and more frequent, is that this aurora borealis, the northern lights that some areas can see, are becoming brighter now because of this, because of the sun storms.
Yeah, I've seen
fantastic
the photographs.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly... It is 2012. I can't, there are people that are sitting there and with bated breath and, you know, waiting for the axe to fall.
The world.
You know, but as we've talked before, I mean, we think it's more of a very gradual, you know, shift of consciousness. And you have to look for the little signs here and there.
Let's just take a simple step logically. You've got the sunstorms, we've always had the northern lights, you put them together, you get a fantastic light show. Isn't that going to move your insides to some higher enlightenment and say, wow, there is something bigger than Phil out there? So maybe that is part of the shift.
Well, and again, it's back to light, you know, where we live.
Right.
The universe is made up of light, and all the other dimensions have to do with light as well. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Doreen Malloy, and we'll be talking about her metaphysical wisdom as outlined in her book, Proof Positive. So stay with us, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about the unseen world from our guest, Doreen Malloy.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken, even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy. Our sponsor is the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. Bob?
And our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy. Doreen is a spiritual and psychic medium. She's also an author, a teacher, research collaborator, and she's a certified grief recovery specialist. Doreen was originally lab certified as a research medium at the Veritas Research Program at the University of Arizona, and she's presently a level 5 research medium at the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Inhuman Potential, and she's also a certified medium and a member of the Medium Advisory Board of Forever Family Foundation. Her book is called Proof Positive: Metaphysical Wisdom, and her website is DoreenMalloy.com. Welcome, Doreen.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Very good. And, you know, a good place to start, as I mentioned to you, you know, I did read your book when it first came out, and I knew you were coming on, so I read it again. And one thing, you have a little passage in the book where you mentioned that you remember that as a child you were very afraid of death, which, of course, is not uncommon.
Right.
But you wrote that you learned that it takes courage not to fear what you've been taught to fear. So what do you think fosters this courage? Is it a belief in an afterlife that can overcome some of the fear?
I think it was for me. I can remember when I started to get over that fear. I was a young adult. I probably was about 19, 20 years old. And, you know, you get to that point, obviously, in your life where you're going to have to
confronted in some manner. Someone that you know or someone you care about is going to pass away, and, you know, you have to deal with the wake and the funeral and all of that. And I can remember that was actually the first time in my life that I ever had to attend services for anyone. I was already a young adult, and I can remember feeling very strange about that. But I think it was kind of like a turning point for me, because what it did was it made me start to question what I did believe, you know. And so, yeah, it was very interesting for me. I really, fortunately, as a very young child, I didn't have to deal with anyone close to me passing away. So I guess in a way, in retrospect, that was a good thing, you know. But
yeah, and of course, you're very interested in not only in the spiritual realm, but you're interested in research. You want to know how you're able to do, you know, what you're able to do. And
right.
And you're a good person to ask this. I mean, as a medium continues to develop their abilities, and he or she, you know, as he or she is receiving spirit communication and then conveying, you know, messages to the sitter, the mediums sometimes, especially at the beginning, do they question themselves as to whether the communication is really coming from spirit as opposed to their own mind?
Oh, gosh, I think we all question ourselves. I think every one of us who is on this journey and, you know, developing ourselves as a medium, I think we all question that. And, you know, you bring up a good point with that, because I think it was one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why I wanted to be tested. I wanted to know for myself that I was doing what I said I was doing, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really do feel that when we first start out, because it's a process in my mind that continues to evolve. And so it's just like anything else, obviously, too. The more you practice, the better you get at it. So your communication process, your interpretation process, all of that will continue to grow and evolve, you know, on some level. But, yeah, when we first started out, I remember when I first started out, and I should mention there are many different types of mediums. I consider myself to be a mental medium, because my mediumship really kind of blossomed and showed itself later in life. There are many mediums out there who are natural-born mediums. You know, they can remember seeing spirits as little toddlers. And there's many different types and distinctions when it comes to mediums. For me, I was working as a psychic for many years, you know, just doing psychic readings. I read tarot. And during the course of a reading one day, I started to hear them. I started to hear voices. And when I began to share with my clients some of the names I was getting or information I was getting, they were the ones confirming for me it was somebody connected to them on the other side. Mm. And so in that space of, I would say, probably about a week, several days to a week, I realized, uh-oh, something different's happening, you know? And yeah. I needed to really kind of look into that and see what that was. And then, you know, from there, it grew. But when it happens and unfolds in that manner, for me anyway, yeah, I certainly did question, was this my imagination? Or, you know, was it my guides? Was it their guides? Was it their people in the afterlife? I really wasn't sure what I was getting when it first started. So it was very interesting, you know?
Yeah. So mediums, you know, there are a lot of people that are under the impression, well, you know, a medium is, you know, is born with this ability, and if you're not born with that ability, there's nothing you can do about it, you know. So and yet you hear of many mediums who, started later in life and actually developed their ability. So I guess it's not true that you're born with that ability and you don't need any development. You certainly do, it seems.
You know, there's differing opinions on it. On the one hand, I do believe that yes, we are born with it if we're meant to use it in the way that we do as professional mediums by helping others. It's just that for some of us, it will develop later in life. I've examined that, I've thought about that, and I've meditated on it, and I really feel that in my case, particularly, I think it might have been my guide's way of, you know, protecting me, perhaps. You know, maybe it would have been too much for me to really experience something like that early on in life. In other words, I had to be ready for it. I had to be evolved enough in my own existence here, you know, to kind of be ready to take that next step and do something different. On the other hand, I think everyone gets those experiences. Everyone has an experience once in a while where they feel connected to someone on the other side, to their own loved ones. And I think everyone has that ability, you know, and can maybe bring it in a little bit stronger. That's not to say that everyone would be able to work as a medium and bring through messages for everyone. So I think there's kind of a fine line there somewhere,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you mentioned, you know, at the beginning, a lot of, you know, mediums question themselves, and we get a tremendous number of emails and phone calls and communications from people, and because we conduct the medium certification program, that they're under the belief that we're also in the business of training mediums, which of course we're not. And the reason that they, when you talk to these people, and the stories are very similar, that they have some intuitive experiences, and they don't know whether they're real or not, and they want to develop them. I mean, so what kind of advice would you give to people like that?
Well, I guess there's a couple of different things they could do. First of all, I always tell people, read as much as you can, learn as much as you can about, you know, that whole, whatever's under that umbrella that we call mediumship, because there's a lot of different aspects or facets of it, if you will. And so the first thing you want to do is really educate yourself about, you know, what's what? What does it mean? What's the difference, you know, between a psychic and a medium? A lot of times people don't even understand that distinction right there, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there's a possibility of taking a class or a workshop of any type or even sometimes joining a discussion group, there certainly is quite a bit of information online. So, you know, it's just kind of immersing yourself, I think, in the subject. But then once you get the information and you have that, if you find yourself developing, I mean, I think the biggest thing you have to do is practice it.
Mm.
So it's really about, you know, giving information to your friends, to your family, any place that you feel really safe, you know, and just sharing whatever you're getting in that manner first, because that's a safer environment. And then obviously if there's any place where you can get involved with people of like minds, like sometimes I tell people if you live in or near a large city, check out the metaphysical shops in your area, because most of them have a bulletin board, you know, in the shop, and they'll post up flyers of gatherings or, you know, classes or, you know, meditation circles, prayer circles, stuff like that. And it really kind of enables you to meet people that are like-minded and into some of the same things.
Mm.
So that's my initial, you know, advice.
Yeah, it's good advice. You mentioned earlier about, you know, that there are differences between psychic information and
right.
Information from spirit. And it was a passage that you wrote about in Proof Positive, and actually Fran and I got into a discussion about this because you related a story. You were giving some examples of using your psychic skills versus mediumistic abilities, and a friend called you and to ask you if she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You used your psychic skills to tell her that she was, and you arrived at that because you empathically felt a nauseous sensation, which told you that she was pregnant. And so that's a good example of a psychic skill. But then I think you were also asked if the child was a girl or a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard, you know, telepathically, it's a girl. So you gave that as an example of using your mediumistic ability.
Right.
Now, was that because when you heard it's a girl, you recognized that as coming from spirit?
It wasn't a sense of inner knowing, which would be my psychic senses.
Yeah.
It was more a sense of communication that was coming from somewhere else. I almost kind of felt that it was coming from that little girl. But honestly, it could have been coming from my spiritual guides. It could have been coming from my friend's guides, you know, or just higher consciousness somewhere. But to me, it kind of felt like a voice came in and said those words to me, you know.
Right. So
instead
you felt
of just getting the yes or no.
Right. Because when I read it, my first reaction was, well, it could have, like you said, it could have been the little girl, you know,
right,
communicating with you telepathically, which would be psychic, you know, as opposed. But you felt, as you've told me before, I mean, there's a different feel to the information.
Right, exactly.
From spirit. Yeah. Would you mind taking a call?
Oh, of course. I'd love to.
Oh, okay. Then we have Jackie from New Jersey on line 3.
Jackie?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. You're on with Doreen Malloy.
Hi, Jackie.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Doreen.
Do you have a question?
I was reading some... Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I was reading an excerpt from your book, Doreen, online, where you talk about that the spirit world no longer has to be anonymous or a place that is a difficult dimension to reach, that we can feel more relaxed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you can just elaborate more on what that means to you.
Well, I think, you know, if this was 20 or 30 years ago, I think it would be a very difficult conversation to broach with other people, or, you know, just to bring up the topic would probably cause a lot of people to feel a little bit uncomfortable. Today in the world we live in, you know, we've got so much information, and I think largely it has to do with also our communications, you know, through the internet and email, and everything is, you know, instant communication for us, you know. So we have a lot of information at our fingertips, and these are subjects now, today, that most people do know about. So I don't think we have to hide, you know, if you have abilities or, let's say, for instance, you don't know whether you have abilities or not, but let's say you've had a dream about something, or what if you have a precognitive experience? Precognition is when you know something before it happens, you know, and then a few days later or a week later, something unfolds, and it was exactly the way you had it in your vision, in the waking state, or in the dream state. We feel comfortable today in talking about things like that. So it isn't something that we feel we have to hide from anymore. The other thing for me is I realized a few years back, the more knowledge I had and the more information that I was able to share with people, the more confident I was in talking about these things, you know. And then, you know, you sort of find that people aren't afraid to ask questions. And they ask great questions, too, you know. So, isn't something that I think we need to worry about being in the closet about or not sharing with other people. Actually, it's the opposite way, I think, today. I think if you bring up the subject, if you're with a group of friends or, you know, in the office environment and you bring that subject up, you're going to see everyone's antenna peak, you know, perk right up there and join in that conversation, because the truth is that we all do have some level of experiences. You know, so does that answer
yes.
it for you? Okay.
It does, and if I may just ask your insight about precognition.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I wanted
my...
to know, because you...
Go ahead. What do you want to ask
about it? Go ahead. Well, I wanted to know what the purpose of it is, because I know for me personally, I've had experiences where I've connected with people that are children, actually, that I have either drowned or have been in fires, and then I read about it in the newspaper the next day.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, I really struggle with understanding what is the purpose of my knowing that information.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually a great question. I'm glad that you asked it, because I've really meditated over that for a long time, and my feeling is this. I think that precognition happens for us because it's a way for us to be prepared for an upcoming event. You'll notice that almost every time that happens, and this is true for almost everyone, whenever they have an experience like that, it's almost always something that will either be shocking or sad or, you know, some kind of bad news, let's say. And I think what happens is it's, you know, God's way or the universe's way, you know, whatever your core beliefs are, of kind of preparing us on a conscious level and also a subconscious level or a soul level for some news to come in, so that maybe we can handle it a little bit better. Maybe we're a little bit more prepared for it. And I also have precognitive experiences, and I've had them from time to time. I don't get them constantly over the years. And it's always about something that, you know, is going to be a little bit unnerving or something that might be, you know, bring sadness. And it's very interesting because you are prepared for it. When you think about it that way, you're not a shock. And I always tell people also, most important about that, there's nothing we can do to change the course of the future. The best analogy I could use probably is that it's kind of like watching the coming attractions to a movie. You're just kind of stepping outside of the time frame that you're in for a few seconds. You get a glimpse of this future event that takes place, and then you come back to the present moment. But you really can't do anything to change it. It's, again, it's really just a way of preparing us in some manner, probably emotionally, spiritually, mentally, to just kind of deal with whatever's coming. So I hope that answers it for you, because it's kind of the only thing that makes sense for me.
It partly does, but I very often don't know the people in the in the image or in the dream. But it does help to know that it's a way of preparing oneself.
And you know what, for you, is this a recent occurrence that this just started happening for you? Okay.
It's happened to me for years.
Okay. So what might happen is that this could be a precursor to things that you might get that would be more for you. Okay, in other words, it's a way of awakening you to this type of experience so that you have a better understanding of it. And then, of course, you know, it could kind of evolve. I'm not saying that it will or it won't, but it may go in that direction where it evolves in such a way that some of the experiences you have are really about people and places that you are connected to. So don't be surprised if that kind of unfolds that way. Okay?
Yes, thank you, Doreen. That's very helpful.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
You know, Doreen, it's an interesting, you know, topic, and I know you've had a lot of precognitive experiences, and, you know, sometimes people will relate these experiences, and sometimes they're troubling because people actually feel that they caused the future.
I know,
I'm sure you've heard that before, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're of the belief, though, that there's no sense in acting upon, you know, this glimpse that you can't change what's going to happen?
Not really. I don't believe that we can, and I don't even believe that we're meant to. I think it's just a way of giving us kind of a heads up. In other words, if you go back to my analogy of using the coming attractions to a movie, that would be like saying, well, you know, if you watch those coming attractions, can you change them? You really can't.
Right.
You're just, you are an observer, not a participant. Okay, you're the observer in the situation. So it's really just a way of giving you a heads up of something that has not taken place yet in the physical world, but it's about to.
All right, so the a precognitive experience is not communication with spirit. But,
no.
You know, but what if you communicated, somebody got a message from spirit, which communicated a future event that was going to happen. I mean, then might you take that as a warning, as if you could change this event that's going to happen?
Well, I don't think I would. I think I would also take that, if it was coming from spirit, I would take it as a heads up.
Uh-huh.
In other words, that they're acknowledging something that hasn't actually taken place in the physical world yet. It hasn't manifested physically. But, again, I don't think that we are meant to change it. Like, for instance, I'll give you for instance, there many, many mediums really kind of get a strong sense that someone that maybe one of their clients is asking about might pass away soon.
Right.
And I don't think that there's anything, even with a warning like that, okay, I don't think that there's anything that we could do to prevent someone's passing and making their transition back into spirit, because I think that's decided at a soul level.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think that we're meant to interfere in that. So even if it's, you know, we go over and beyond the call of duty, they're going to pass when it's their time. And I'm a big believer in that. I feel like when we do pass, it's our time to go.
Okay.
You know, I don't think anyone can change that, in other words.
Right. We're getting near a break, but let's try and squeeze in another call if we can.
Okay, we have Dr. Turner.
Dr. Turner's on the line, okay.
Yeah, we have Dr. Turner. Not sure what line on, but I'm sure Steph will find
him. Oh, hello, everyone. I'm sorry to take up your time, but I do have a specific question about spirit contact.
Okay.
Doreen, a very interesting show, and Bob and Fran, but this is my question. You know, I spent years researching near-death experiences, out-of-the-body, energy healing, afterlife, and all that. But I had a recent experience in Brazil last November where I took the hand of John of God during a session and looking right into his eyes, knowing that I was speaking with one of the 35 different entities that takes over his body, I made a specific request to be able to establish two-way communication with benevolent spirits. Well, the way it works there, everyone sits in current, it's called, generating the psychic counterclockwise motion of a spiritual facilitation of what goes on down there in Brazil. And the very next session I sat in, after about 2 hours, in my left ear, I heard the words John Turner whispered in my ear in a male's voice. And there was no one in the room that would have done that. So this was some type of communication. And asking a lot of people, I've heard things from higher self to good spirits and all this. But Doreen, with your experience, and also Bob and Fran, I'd like to ask you, what does this mean when it happens after directly, requesting it?
There's a very good chance that it may have been your master guide, one of your spiritual guides or teachers that may have been communicating. You have to remember also, and I have heard of John of God. I don't know too much about his work. I would say that what he does, though, in my opinion, is he channels information from these other streams of consciousness, and you might even want to call it God consciousness, where he's bringing through healing, he's bringing through information. He's what I call a channeler who would probably channel a great guide, not just his own spirit guide or his own master guide. But probably what happens is that if you're in an environment like that, remember that your consciousness is probably very altered at that point as well, kind of like a meditative mm-hmm. state, and you're open to receiving information, first of all. So I would say probably you hearing clairaudiently, you hearing your name spoken or anyone else's name spoken or any words, this is probably going to come from your own spirit guide energy. Because you're open to it. You're literally opening yourself to that stream of consciousness, that stream of communication coming in. So a couple of different things are probably at work,
Yes. My question also then is how to keep this open and going. I agree with you. This was quite an environment with this sitting
right.
in the spiritual current with others. But now what would you recommend? Because that was my desire a couple of years ago, and finally I got to ask for it to a spirit, and
mm-hmm.
it started to happen, and now I want to really, enhance this ability.
The key, I think, to that is meditation, to really, really kind of acquiring a really good meditation skill. It doesn't mean you have to be a master at it, but just meditating on a fairly regular basis, and whenever I talk to people about meditation, meditation's great for a lot of things. You can recharge your batteries, and you can decompress from stress. You can use it for a lot of different things. But where you want to get for something like this is you want to be able to get to a comfortable place where you can meditate, fairly easily, fairly frequently. And then when it's comfortable for you, you use it as a tool to ask for higher wisdom or a higher connection, a connection to your guides.
Yeah.
And I always talk about guides, people in the afterlife, angels. These are all different streams of communication. So it's kind of like, think of radio stations, They would each be mm-hmm. a different radio station that you would have to kind of tune in to that frequency. The one that you want to get to bring you the higher wisdom that you would be looking for, is really your spiritual guides and teachers, okay? So really the key
How
to this, I think...
Because, to be called by name, I must have
right.
tuned into that stream because that was surprising
right.
to me.
Right.
Well, thank you very much,
and
that's what I'm starting to do. I appreciate
it. Just keep working it. Just keep working on it. Okay.
Keep us posted.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Turner. Take care. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue this fascinating discussion. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to winbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Doreen Malloy. This show is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. If you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, I have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Here at Forever Family Foundation, we're sending out a big thank you to our supportive listeners who have made possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it takes a lot of money to do the work we do, and yet we know that not everyone has extra income they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon.com, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 900 online stores like Red Envelope, L.L. Bean, Fandango, FTD, Valentine's Day is coming, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is up and running. You have a chance to win up to 5 medium readings with Bobby Allison, Laura Lynn Jackson, Tracy Bray, Dave Campbell, Angelina Diana. It's $5 a chance, 5 chances for $20, and there are more selections than that, but you can find it all on our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Doreen Malloy, author of Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom. Doreen's website is DoreenMalloy.com. That's DoreenMolloy.com. The number here at Signs of Life Radio is 1-888-627-6008. Doreen, thanks for staying with us. In the book, you talk about sacred spirituality, and I would say that if you asked people off the street what sacred spirituality meant, many would give you a discourse on religious principles. So tell us a little bit what you mean by sacred spirituality.
Well, one of the reasons that I wrote the chapter, Bob, was to kind of distinguish between spirituality and, religion. Because I found it interesting when I was doing the research for this book that if you look up one word, the description is the other word. If you look up, spiritual, you find religious.
Right.
And they aren't necessarily the same thing. So it's one of the reasons that I wrote that chapter in the book. And here's the best way I could describe this is that spirituality is the inner path, and religion is really the outer path. The outer path is what we learn from, our parents, our family, our churches or synagogues, our society, what we learn in school. It's our outer path that conditions us, to certain beliefs, certain belief systems. Spirituality is something that we find within. And we really have to look within for that. And you've probably heard, how many people have said things like, God is within us, or we look within for the answers.
Right.
It's about looking to that inner conversation, or you could call it inner wisdom. And that's kind of the distinction that I was trying to make between spirituality and religious teachings, because in my mind, they were very separate from each other. They were not one and the same. And that's why I wrote the chapter.
Yeah, and I think that certainly in your career as a medium, you've run up against certain situations where people tell you that you shouldn't be doing what you're doing because it goes against their religious principles, which is
right.
Pretty amazing considering that the foundation of all religions, all religions believe in some form of life after death. So
right.
I never did quite get that. If we can, go to another call.
We have Marion from Georgia on line 3.
Okay. Marion?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Signs of Life, and you're on with Doreen Malloy. Did you have a question for Doreen?
Yes, I have questions a lot.
What would you like to ask
right now? Well, I connect with my husband a lot. He's been on the other side for 8 years now, and we connected by telepathy a lot when he was alive, and we continue to do that, but less and less as years go by now.
Mm-hmm.
I have a firm belief that there is another side to this and that we all go there eventually.
Right, right.
But I read so many things where different people say different things about what it's like. Like some say you have a solid body like you do here. Some say you have a spiritual body. Some people say you don't have any body, you're nothing but a light. I'd like to know what your opinion is.
That's a great question. I think that, first of all, once we no longer need our physical bodies and we transition back into spirit, I think our energetic body can really kind of show itself in whatever way it wants to. I'll give you a for instance. I've noticed as a medium when I'm reading for other people, that very oftentimes when someone in the afterlife shows themselves to me, let's say they passed as an elder person, they might show themselves to be a little bit younger or a little bit more robust, or maybe the way they looked 20 years, you know, before they passed. And I think the reason for that is because perhaps it's what they feel is more comfortable, and that's why they will show themselves that way. And I've also had people tell me that when they connect with their own loved ones in the dream state or in a state of meditation, that sometimes their loved ones will also do the same thing, show themselves a little bit younger. Sometimes they will show themselves to me based on something they did hear. Like, for instance, if they were heavy smokers and they passed from a lung-related disease because they smoked for many years, they will actually show themselves to me in my mind's eye, because I don't see them standing in the room, but they'll show themselves to me with smoke all around them. And so I think they're able to manifest.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Is that really what they're like? I mean,
here's the thing. It's not physical smoke they're showing me. They're showing me this on a very psychic and spiritual level. Okay?
I know. I get that, too.
Right.
I get that, too. When my brother passed last year, when I was in bed that night, he right inside my ear, he said, "Holy moly, Bernie," which is something we used to say to each other when we were little kids. You know,
right.
And I hadn't thought of it in years.
Right.
And I get a lot of signs from my husband, lot of signs that there's no way that it could be anything else. So, but my great-granddaughter saw him about 6 months after he passed. She was 6 years old.
Okay.
And I was in the house with her, and she came running and said, "Grandma, Grandma, did you see Grandpa?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, he was in the dining room, and he walked past the china cabinet and looked out the window, and he came back, and he came down the hallway, and I thought he came in the kitchen with you."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "No, I don't know why you can see him, and I can't."
Uh-huh.
And she said, "I don't know either, because he's standing over there looking at you."
Okay.
And I said, so I asked her, you know, if he looked like he was old and sick, like when she saw him last, and she said, "No, he looks like the picture of the man in the front bedroom," which was my husband. She said he had light hair, and he was wearing a black turtleneck sweater, and he had light hair. I said, "But Grandpa never got gray," and she said, "No, he looked like the man in the picture in the front bedroom." My husband was about 22 when that was.
How wonderful, too, that you would have that experience through your great-granddaughter as well. And I don't know if you know this, but you know. Go ahead.
Why would it be that she could? Why would it be that she could see him and tell me he was still standing there and I couldn't see him?
Well, that's a great question. But there is a genetic thread in families. There's genetic thread, meaning that you have some limited ability, okay? You're undeveloped, but you get information. You've been able to connect with him. You've been able to connect telepathically. It's not surprising when other people in your family have those abilities also, because there is kind of a genetic connection to that. But you have to remember there's different types of mediumship ability. Some mediums can see spirits in the room. Other mediums only see spirits in their mind's eye. There are mediums who are trance mediums, meaning that they do their work, their spiritual work, while they're in a trance state instead of in the waking state. There are mediums who speak in tongues. They speak languages that they don't speak in the waking state while they're in a mediumship session. So there's many different types. The fact that your great-granddaughter can see them, okay, she was able to see him in spirit, in a physical sort of form, just speaks to the type of mediumship ability that she has. It doesn't mean that you have less ability, it's just that yours is different. Does that make sense if I say it that way?
Yeah, it does, but it still makes me wonder, is that what he's like on the other side, or is he just a whatever, a light or something?
I think we are. Remember that inside or within our physical bodies, we have what we call our energetic body. And that really is our spirit or our soul, if you will, okay? And I think that it can take on whatever look it really likes, you know? I hope when I get to the other side, I can get to be skinnier than I am right now, because that would make me very happy. but, you know, I hope
my hair goes back to being red and I have a smaller nose.
Right, there you go. And I think that sometimes that it actually does happen that way. And this is the way they show themselves to us. Perhaps it made your husband happy. To the way he looked in the photograph in the other room, he probably really identified with that. You know, he really liked the way he looked in that photo, and so there you have it. You know,
yes,
he's going to show
sure
himself.
Did.
Yeah, yeah. But
Marianne,
I hope that helps.
My husband was extremely handsome.
I'm sure he was.
Handsome.
But probably
he
still
was
is.
He handsome for his own good, really.
I'm sure he still is handsome, very
right.
much so.
Marianne, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome, and I still don't know whether we have a body or we don't, but at least it was fun talking about it and getting your opinion of it, because maybe that is it. We just do it the way we want to when we
I
get
think
there.
So, and thank you so much for calling in.
All right, take care.
Yes, and thank you for talking with me.
Okay,
have a good evening.
Bye.
Dora, I know we don't have much time, but we actually have a couple of minutes left. But one thing you mentioned that struck me, you know, in the book Proof Positive, you wrote about you began to realize that there's a difference between people who recognize that they are psychic and those who don't acknowledge, you know, the psychic realm as part of their reality. So what are a couple of types of differences that you noticed?
I think a lot of that probably has to do with conditioning. In other words, it has a lot to do with what we're told is real and what we're told is not real. For instance, how many times have you heard little children are told that their imaginary friends are not real? Okay?
Right.
But we don't really know that for sure, because there are children that are natural born with these abilities and might very well be speaking to spirits and people that are very close to them in their family who have crossed over, and yet that conditioning is we're actually teaching them to suppress the ability by telling them it doesn't exist. You know, it must just be your imagination because we don't understand it, so
right.
therefore it can't be real to you. So things like that, I think that really kind of sets the stage for people to not be in touch with their own psychic abilities or spiritual connections, Because we're telling them it isn't so.
Right.
On the other hand, if we help to really kind of support that in young people, and, you know, no one ever told a little 3-year-old child that they couldn't see those in spirit. And so they do, you know. Sometimes we see them and they're staring at something in the corner of the room and they're so excited and they're so happy. And we look over there and we see nothing and we're scratching our heads, you know.
Yep.
But no one ever told them they couldn't do it. And so it's so important to try to support that. If we do see our children developing in that way, by giving them the support they need, it will be a natural transition for them to just kind of grow in their own psychic development.
Right. And wouldn't we perhaps be better as a society if we foster that kind of understanding and interest?
Absolutely.
We have been talking with Doreen Molloy, author of Proof Positive, Metaphysical Wisdom. And by the way, the subtitle is Valuable Insights That Reveal Esoteric Knowledge About Life, Death, and Our Very Real Connections to the Spirit World. You can find that book via a Amazon link on our website. You can also visit and find out a tremendous amount of information on Doreen's website, DoreenMolloy.com. And we thank you so much for being with us tonight, and we hope to see you again real soon.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anytime.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.
Take care.
This evening. And before we say goodnight, we ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, Francis Mastracco, Donna Mello, Mark Varone, Eileen LaFada, Joanne Gerber, and Lynn LeClaire, and anybody else out there who needs healing. And then let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masaru Emoto back on May 9th, 2010. And now it's time to say...
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.